Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wealth Blend Podcast with CrossShield Financial, where we bring financial news topics, fresh money insights, bold conversations, and real financial strategies to help you win with money. Each week, we break down the hottest financial news of the week, help you cut through the noise, and show you how to turn knowledge into action. But here's the secret sauce. Having a financial coach in your corner changes absolutely everything. And of course, we keep things fun, high energy, and practical with a little help from our quirky mascot, Zoodles, because finance doesn't have to be boring. So grab your cup of coffee, settle in, and let's blend the tools, insights, and coaching support you need to build wealth with confidence and purpose. I'm Rudy Upshaw, CEO and founder of CrossShield Financial, and today I've got an amazing lineup joining me. So coming on deck today, we have the amazing Miss Allie Long, who is our executive assistant. Allie, welcome to the Wealth Blend. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I love the blue sweater. Oh my gosh, it just looks so, it's not really quote springy, but man, the color just pops and it's just so bright and vivid. And it actually makes me look for these blue daffodils that are going to be sprouting here pretty quick in Oklahoma. And secondly, we have our amazing coach, Mrs. Coach, or Mr. I think my tongue just got there.
Almost got there.
Amazing coach, Nick Bowater, professional financial coach working with CrossShield. And man, Nick is amazing. So Nick, welcome to the Wealth Blend podcast.
Yeah. Today. Aloha, everybody. Ready to get started. Glad to be back in here.
And we do not have one of our financial coaches at CrossShield here today on the Wealth Blend. Coach Amanda Hershberger. Amanda is not feeling well. And she's had like, gosh, almost 90 days of sickness kind of roaming around in her house. So Amanda, we miss you. We love you. And know that we are praying for you. So it's great to see everyone today. So let's kind of jump in real quick. We're not going to jump into an article. But what I'd love to do for the three of us here today is, what's a really cool thing that you have accomplished, maybe one of your big wins this last week for you since we did the Wealth Blend last time? Allie, what about you? Let's let you jump in. What's a really cool win that you've had for yourself? And if you want to put on the financial side of things, that's great.
A really cool win, I guess. I don't know if it was necessarily me, but I've been working a lot, which is really good because in December/November, it was holiday season. I also nanny. So I don't normally, that's like a busy season, but for some reason it was so slow. And I was like scrounging for jobs. Like I was really trying to like work and pay my bills and yada, yada, all that stuff. And now I've been super busy that I'm like praying someone cancels because I'm like, please let me rest. But it's a good thing for me to be busy. So I'd say that's a win.
Wow, very cool. So you're doing CrossShield stuff, you're doing some nannying, you're doing some other things. Why are you doing all that stuff, Allie? What's up?
Why am I doing all that?
Yeah.
To pay for my bills, to work, to live my life.
You got goals, right?
I got goals. That's right.
Hey, everyone, I'll just tell you. Allie Long, our executive assistant here at CrossShield, she is not afraid to grind, to work, to do whatever she takes, whatever it needs to take to make her goals. And so we love Allie. She is just an amazing example of what you can do when you put your mind to it, when you have goals. So love it. Thanks, Allie. Okay. Coach Nick, what's up, bro? Woohoo!
Man, I had a great week. I signed a new client, a really cool couple out of California that are getting in some strife. I've had life hit them hard, and their work industry hit them hard. So they're trying to get back on the grind, get back on the path, and you know continue to build that legacy for their two little boys and their family. And that's just an awesome opportunity. These people are kind of like, and they just want to go. They want to go get after it so hard. And that's the kind of customer client I really, really love. On a personal note, I've had a lot of surgeries in the last probably 2 years, probably like six or almost seven. So today was the first day back in the gym, and my trainer almost destroyed me.
Nice.
We set up the ski erg, the assault bike, and the rower, and I had them all three lined up, and I would do 30 calories on each. Then I would do 60 calories on each, and then 90 calories on each. And it was about 40-minute workout, and my body was dying, and my heart rate sat at about a solid 178 the entire time. So I was gassed at the end of it.
What's so funny about that is, like, you work, like, something that you do normally, and if you don't do it for such a long time, and you go do it again, you're like, I can't do that.
I'm like, I don't even like smoke. I'm wheezing. I'm like,
yeah.
It is 5 degrees outside, so like as soon as that cold air hits my lungs, and I'm like wheezing like a dude who smokes, you know, 2-pack of Marlboro Lights a day. It's terrible.
Wow. But anyway, awesome.
Loving life right now.
Good job, Nick. Love it. Hey, Nick. I'm pretty sure that our viewing audience that follows Cross Shield, they would love to see some of these process shots of you at the gym. You know, hitting some of these. Things have your guy or have someone in there, you know, take a little video of you, man, just whacking the ropes or whatever. Yeah,
that's it. My favorite gear is I've got this shirt. It's called there's this company. It's called Kind of Fit, Kind of Fat. So it's like this shirts I've got, like he's got this big yoked guy like eating pizza, or it's like got Mario eating donuts, and I've got this Stubby. And it's just got like this big gym rope wrapped around it. And it's awesome. This company, it's a small little company, and they're a Samoan couple that own it. But yeah, kind of fit.
That's fun.
Love that. Very cool. So let's see.
What about you, Rudy?
Yeah, big win for me. I've had some really great clients that I've signed on recently. Had a new client that signed on last week, and, it's amazing. Everyone has a story that they're walking through. But I think the biggest one, let me tell you about the biggest one just really fast. So I got a client that I've been working with now for about 5 or 6 months. This is a client that I've shared a little bit about this story, but she has a lot of debt. Total debt, currently consumer debt is, about $200,000 in consumer debt. Credit cards, car loans, anything under the sun. And anyway, she's really struggling. So, this client, first time since we've been working together, she's actually into her budget document, inputting information. And this is the longest budget document that I have ever worked with. It's literally goes down to 149 lines of information and data. So it's big, but she's into it. And now we're starting to pay off some debts. So we got 4 debts that she's going to be paying off this week alone. And it's so rewarding to see, a client that's taking back control of their money, that's getting that, confidence built back in. She's a long way away, but she would never have been able to accomplish the things that she's accomplished without working with a financial coach. And that's the power of financial coaching. So anyway.
Making those changes permanent too. That's a big thing.
Ooh.
You don't realize it's like those behavioral changes. They're at first very like temperament orientated, and then you know you let off the gas, that change goes back to the stuff that got you there in the first place. So consistency and making those changes last, man, that's the value of coaching as well. I just want to add that little part on it.
No, love that. All right, guys, let's get into some articles, some news this week. Oh my gosh, if anyone has turned on the television into just like the national news in the last week, 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, I mean, it's just a barrage of information and data. And so we're going to dig into these things. So first thing we want to talk about is, this is an article from Forbes. This is from Derek Saul. And the article is titled, "Inflation was 3% in January, worse than expected." And it goes into a little bit of detail about some specific areas of inflation that we're seeing some pretty healthy numbers on. So yeah, we were all very hopeful and optimistic. I think many of us still are, that inflation is going to begin abating. And we haven't seen a lot of the abatement or the going down of the inflation numbers. But for January, inflation was 3% in January. And so that's actually a growth number. And it's really, you know, there's a lot of different drivers behind it. But it talks about inflation is really managed by the CPI, the Consumer Pricing Index, which was 3% last month. And compared to the forecast, which was 2.8. We thought it would start to go down, but it did not. And consumer prices in this particular article rose 0.5% from January, from December to January, on a seasonally adjusted basis. So we'll talk about that briefly. And then the more important measure of core inflation, which excludes price changes, is the often volatile food and energy categories that actually increased 3.3% year over year. So long and short of it is, inflation is not, we're not really seeing adjustments going down inflation. We're seeing it actually going up a little bit. So,
I remember I saw like a lot of people talking about their eggs. Like a lot of people talking about their eggs.
I love this.
And I was like, oh, I guess, I mean, this is not that good, but I guess I just wasn't paying attention of how I knew it jumped like over the years, the prices have jumped. But I guess recently, like that's all I've been seeing is like eggs are going up. Eggs are going up. And I'm like, oh my goodness, they really are going up. Like I was just not paying attention, like how much they've gone up. They've gone up. I think it was like, did it say 15%?
Prices
were 15% from December. Like, that's not like a little jump. Like, that's a huge jump. Yeah.
Well, I've got a little study that was done over the consumer price index, and the average cost of a dozen grade A large eggs in December across the U.S. was $4.15. It's up from $2.52 from the start of 2004. So in a year, they've doubled. They might have gone up 50% like recently, but they've doubled, almost doubled over the last year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's
and it
just
did more... say though because mm-hmm. there's a bird flu. It says that the supply of eggs is like
ravaging.
It's hard
right now.
Yeah,
it's the scarcity of a product is going to drive the price up no matter what is implemented. And I love the articles like I see on Facebook all the time. It's like, oh yeah, I'm still waiting for the price of groceries to go down. You know, good job. You know, good job, President Trump. And I'm just like, first of all, such a lack of. Like Liberty said, there's about 50 billion things that go into how things are priced. I mean, the guy's been in like 19 days. Dude, give him a break. Second of all, bird flu is like destroying our country right now. Like as far as the egg production, the point where people, I read an article today in the LA Times that people are leasing and renting their chickens to people who want to become like. There's this fad like everyone's got to become an urban farmer now and want to rent chickens. It's like. $100 a month for chickens, feed, and a coop. And I'm like, and the average chicken lays 12 eggs a day. And it's just like, the math doesn't work on that. Like, I'm just going to buy eggs. But then, then the Waffle House, they said there's an egg surcharge they're starting to input.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
showstopper, right?
Like 50 cents or something, an egg. Like, the order an egg is like, or whatever the order is, they had 50 cents or something for a surcharge.
I'm trying to read it what it is now.
Per egg.
Per egg. So a egg omelet's another $1.50.
Yeah.
Wow.
So with all this, the conversation about inflation, inflation's a very real thing, and there's a lot of different factors that go into it. And a lot of things, bird flu, right? If we didn't have the bird flu, the cost of eggs would probably not be as high as they are. And so things are going to happen to us throughout the year, every month. And the way to really combat the inflation issue from a personal household is first and foremost to know what's going on with your numbers, with your budget, so that when you're going to the store and you're looking at buying eggs, let's just say, and eggs are, I think even some places I heard where cartons were going from like up to like $7 a carton for some types of eggs. Okay, well, guess what? If you're going to the store and you've got a budget of, let's say $100 to buy all your food, and eggs are going to be twice as much as what they were before, well, you can buy those eggs, but money's got to come from somewhere else. That's the joy about being in control of your budget, of your money, because you get to decide what you do with it, and what your resources are. Because just because the price of eggs go up doesn't mean your employer in their, generosity is going to increase your pay to cover your price of eggs. No, they have a budget that they're working with too. So the best way to combat inflation is to know your numbers, have a budget, work with a coach that can help you get those things done so that when inflation does become an issue, it's more of an inconvenience for you get to make different choices as opposed to, oh my gosh, we're not going to get any more eggs. Let's go stock up and pile up for the next 2 or 3 months on eggs, which aren't going to be good. So, yeah. Let's go rent chickens.
Which is illegal. Some city ordinance that is actually illegal. You will get fined for it.
To rent? Oh, to rent chickens?
For zoning laws? Like,
oh, yeah,
You can't have chickens in certain residential zoning areas. Homeowner associations? If your one doesn't approve it, or it's outside, like if it's inside of Sydney, a city ordinance, they have rules that you're not allowed to have any livestock, which includes chickens.
Yeah,
so you could do it.
Well, I was gonna say also just look where you're shopping too, because like I'm just looking it up. Like at Sam's, it's about like $8 for a 2 dozen eggs, and it's more. It's $8 for a dozen and a half at Walmart, you know, so you're saving money if you go elsewhere, like look at your pricings and right. stuff elsewhere. Yeah. My brother eats a ton of eggs. He eats like 4 or 5 eggs a day because he likes high protein.
Yeah.
And so like he shops at like Sam's and he gets the 15 dozen one, which
layer,
it's like a lot of money. It's a lot of money. Like when you first purchase it, I think it's like $60. But when you do the math, when you're shopping, you're constantly buying dozens of eggs, it's like ends up being cheaper for you. Yeah, it's like ends up being way cheaper for you. So it's just like watch also where you're shopping, watch your budget, see if other stores have higher prices or others are lower, because some of them are and some of them aren't. And I saw the other day that some local farmers are selling their eggs for way cheaper too than the grocery store. So they're still doing like two. Yeah, so just gotta look a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
I think you made a great point, Rudy, is about your budget. Like, this is why we stress so much of living below your means, having margin in your budget. Because again, if gas goes up, if eggs go up, if milk goes up or it goes down or whatever, you're inconvenienced. Yeah, it might be a little like emotionally annoying, but as far as your money goes, you're not hurting. You're not going to suddenly not have milk or not have eggs or not be able to put gas in your car.
Yeah.
Those people that are living maxed out, you know, they're living above their means. They've got car payments, credit card payments. They've just got all this consumer debt, and all of their money that they earn goes off to, you know, whatever credit or whatever debt they're paying. That's what creates this panic and this hysteria. But if you're, again, live below your means and you have margin in your budget, you can afford for stuff to go up and down. Because let's face it, stuff's rarely ever going to come down. I mean, as inflation, you know, it's the target is 2%, but things are always going to be more and more expensive. So you've got to anticipate that the eggs aren't going to stay the same price forever. So again, below your means gives you that margin to play with.
100%. And we can absolutely do that. Let's move on to the next article. So we've got, this is from Lori EO now. This will be in the description so everybody can kind of figure out how to say Lori's last name. This is from the Wall Street Journal. And the article is 3 places to get the best returns on your cash. So let's just kind of back up a little bit. So in the previous article, we talked about inflation. It's very much, you know, budgetary oriented, making sure we know what our numbers are so that we can make good buying decisions. When we're at that place where we've got a good, healthy budget process, we know what our numbers are, and we're able to now start putting money back into our fully funded emergency fund. We want to do that in a place that's going to generate some returns for us. So this article really talks about the high yield savings accounts. And we do recommend our clients to have their funds in a high yield savings account. And so, Nick, tell us a little bit about what a high yield savings account or a high yield savings account bank. Why is it high yield? Why is that particular terminology so important for us to think about?
That's an awesome question, Rudy. So the high yield savings account, again, we recommend all of our clients put their emergency fund or their fully funded emergency fund in a high yield savings account for a couple of reasons. One, the interest rate of a normal savings account, it could be like 0.0001 whatever percent interest, right? So it doesn't grow anything at all, interest whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It's not really like if you're going to have money sitting there, it's not really logical to put it there. High yield savings account, on the other hand, last January, high yield savings account returns were up to 5.35%, according to this article by the is it Washington? Washington Journal.
Yeah.
They've gone down a little bit to about 4.75%, depending on which bank you go with. Usually the online banks have a higher rate of return. And then your money just sits there. You're only using it if it's unexpected, necessary, and urgent. The three categories you have to have for you to access that money as a real emergency fund. So it's sitting there, it's gaining interest, and you know, and it's the liquidity is the key part of a high yield savings account. So if you have your money in the CD, you may have a tiny bit better interest rate, but it's locked in there. So if something happens, you have to wait 4, 5, 6 months, whatever it is, until that CD ends. You grab it, and then you can use the money. But in a high yield savings account, it's just like acts like any other savings account, and you can grab that money instantly if you need it for an emergency.
So, yeah, and those the banks that are going to offer the high, you want a bank at the end of the day. There may be other institutions that offer a high yield savings account, but if they're not a bank, if they're not FDIC insured, you want to really avoid those. We recommend people, please don't put money in an institution that doesn't have FDIC insurance. We won't go into that in this conversation, but it needs to be that. And those banks that do offer the high yields, they typically are not going to have a lot of brick and mortar across the country, especially in your area. So you may have like one organization or maybe a Capital One, which doesn't have hardly any brick and mortar unless you're in a large MSA. But the point of the article is there's still good interest rates from high yield savings accounts. Those interest rates are starting to go down a little bit. About a year ago, high yield savings accounts with good, reputable FDIC insured banks were paying around 5.5%. And we're seeing those on average around 4.7 right now is kind of the high, down to probably 4.3. But it's still a good time. If you have your emergency fund money and it's in your local bank, we definitely recommend checking out high yield savings account options. And we here at CrossShield always advise our clients on what those are. We help them look at the different institutions that they can place those monies in. But we definitely want you to get to a place where those emergency fund dollars, and we're not talking about investments. We're not talking about things that are going to be in there for a long time. These are dollar amounts that you need to have available to you within 1 or 2 business days to cover that emergency. It's got to be liquid, right close. So, okay, I'll hush and give it. Allie, do you have any thoughts on these high yield savings accounts, this article?
It's not on the high yield savings accounts, but it's on the CDs, the certificates of deposits. It says that this is also a good tool if you wanted to do something like that. But it also said that there are CDs might charge you if you pull out too early, and that bonds can go up and down in value. So what, Rudy, what would be your take on that if someone was wanting to do something with the CDs instead?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that is a conversation with a financial coach to really talk about, hey, I've got this money. What's the purpose of it? What do we need to be doing with it? CDs are a great option, but you are locked in for that CD for that time frame. And if you do pull out, there may be a penalty for it. There are many different options, and we just would love to have a conversation with someone to give them some guidance and direction. So they're all good. We want to be able to earn as much money as possible on those funds based on the purpose of those funds. So anyway, so long and short of it, yes, we do recommend, but talk with a coach. Let them understand your situation, because the world of money it can be a little bit complicated, but it really should be all driven around your goals, your purpose, where you're at in your journey of building wealth. And working with a coach is going to help you really narrow that down. So, yeah.
Very good.
Awesome.
Okay. The next article that we got, this is a fun one. We're going to take just about maybe 5 minutes. I know we want to be consistent on our time frame of 30. For this podcast, but this article is by David Ingram, and David is with NBC News, and this article is dated February the 4th, so it's a little bit dated, but I think it's a good article. We've all been hearing lots of things about Doge, D-O-G-E, right? We're seeing all kinds of stuff on the news and all kinds of things. I don't know if we're hearing Doge as much as we're hearing the name Elon Musk. So this article is from Dave, and he talks about the article is titled Elon Musk and Doge are hacking the government. There's so much here. We're not going to go into like all the intricacies, but we're going to continue to talk about Doge on this podcast for probably the foreseeable future. And Nick, I'm just going to let you open up a little bit. If you don't mind, just share with us the article with the audience.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, just talk to the audience. What is Doge, D-O-G-E, and really kind of what's its purpose? If you don't mind to share that with the viewing audience, please.
Sir. I will do that. And I think you just need like a ring. Zoodles, if I start to chat a little bit, you let me know. Okay, buddy. All right. So Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. I think it's hilarious because Elon Musk made a coin and now it's called Doge. I think it's great. It's not a new concept, actually. The concept was started back in the Obama administration to kind of monitor to monitor funding and whatnot. It goes more into it. And then the Biden administration kind of gave it more and more and more power. So essentially, this thing was set up and primed and loaded and then handed to the brainchild of Donald Trump and Elon Musk. So basically what the idea of how Doge has evolved and the idea of it is to go through and crack down on government inefficiencies and spending to figure out all this stuff that's congressionally approved in our budget, what actually is it? And it's providing oversight to the people of where our money is actually going. Because I guarantee if I found out that I was sending $50 million to, I don't know, I'm just making this up, I can't quote it exactly, but like to Serbia for DEI purposes, or like an opera in Venezuela for DEI, whatever it was, you know, just these things that just, they're just millions of dollars, thousands of dollars. I think the USAID is the one they're targeting right now. And they said something, they do like 3 billion transactions a year, 3 billion transactions on approved fundage. I think what everyone's freaking out about, was that Zoodles telling me to shut up?
Sorry. No, wrong button.
Okay, so they're going through, they're cracking down on government efficiency, on government inefficiency, where the spending's going, and they're holding people accountable. The whole point of what I think Musk is getting, well, definitely Donald Trump and Elon Musk are getting at, is the USAID is under the executive branch. And under the executive branch, the president has all the power. The USAID is not a checks and balances organization. It doesn't need to go through once the money's approved. It doesn't have to have any congressional oversight. The runner of the USAID program doesn't have to be so much a director, although it is now our Secretary of State, Mark Rubio, which is great. But Doge doesn't actually have any congressional powers. It's merely an oversight committee that briefs the president on, hey, this is what's going on inside the executive branch. I think it's fantastic. I think people are worried about, this whole transparency and ethical concerns, and it's the potential for a constitutional crisis. I think what he's doing is the most furthest away from a constitutional crisis you can possibly get. I think the bureaucracy that was started, you know, from the Obama administration and then through the Biden administration, the bureaucracy, these people that are not elected officials, they're instilled by these parties and they're hired and they're appointed by these people, and the people are not getting a say. There's no democracy involved in where this money goes and how it's spent. And that's kind of the idea, is cracking down on the bureaucracy, getting rid of the bureaucracy of it. And I think people are like, you know, I've read articles where they're calling him a fascist. And I'm like, I think that's the least fascist thing. I can't remember in recent history or history at all where a fascist has decreased bureaucracy. I think that's the wrong definition of a fascist if you're using that. So again, they're oversighting of government spending. They're annihilating all the bureaucracy. Like they laid off 10,000 people. They put them on leave, and they're running it with 200-300 people. And Elon Musk did it when he bought X. He fired 80% of the staff and ran it on 20% of the staff. And it's like the efficiency portion. I think bringing in a businessman into this area, you don't have to know anything about foreign aid or foreign development. All I got to do is crunch numbers. You're a data analyst at this point. You're looking at what the money's going for, and they're telling the people. So
yeah,
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Here's what I hate about the whole process. I hate that they're going to be, you know, people's positions, people's jobs that'll be changed or eliminated. Yeah. You know, that's really, really sad. Right. But to offset all that, listen, these entities that are created, and I think they were created for very good purposes, but it's just like anything else. If I'm not managing my own budget, if I'm not managing my own money, there's creep that kind of builds in, right? In these organizations mm-hmm. that are created, there can be a lot of creep that comes in. And there should be, in every organization, every business, my business, CrossShield, right? There's got to be an inspection of, hey, does this make sense? The things that I'm paying for, the things that we're charging for, there should always be this constant managing of the business at the end of the day. And when I saw the numbers, and I can't remember the organization, I think it may have been Department of Education, maybe it was USAID, but there was one organization that was something like 75,000 employees that the government now has offered a severance package for them for, I think it was like maybe 9 months or something where they'd pay them. But I'm thinking, okay, there's 75,000 employees of this entity that we don't need. That's my mm-hmm. taxpayer dollars. I'm writing a big check this year for taxes for myself. And when I sat down to write that check, I went to thinking about Doge and thinking about all these things. I'm like, thank goodness that we have elected officials that are now being very intentional about reducing the taxes that we are paying toward these organizations, because it all funnels back through us. Every one of us, everyone that's listening to this podcast in our audience, you have mm-hmm. been paying for these programs, these government entities, all these things. And at the end of the day, as we look at all the things that are changing, we shouldn't have been. We shouldn't have been paying as much for all of that stuff. So I think it's incredibly positive. And I'll just tell the audience, for me, it's like, okay, Rudy now has his own DORE entity in my household, the door, right? It's not Doge, but it's Department of Rudy's, efficiencies, right? So yeah. I think it's really valuable, really important. I think out of this too, I think what's going to cause is for people to really take a step back and look at their own numbers, their own budgets, their own things that they need to do. And we're there to help them. So Allie, any thoughts on Doge?
I didn't even know what Doge was.
Okay. All right.
And yeah. So we read this article, or until we got the article. I had no idea. I know Elon Musk. Of course I know Elon Musk because I know Tesla. Yeah. I know, what's it called? X, just Twitter.
Yeah.
Old Twitter.
SpaceX. So all this stuff. Yeah.
I know all that. Starlink. I know who he is. I don't know much, but from reading the article, I did see that Republican and Democrat, whichever side, some people are concerned and some people think it's great. Some people have like very mixed reviews. I also think it just is because it's Elon Musk, but which is that's what the article says, that it could be just because it's Elon Musk and he's a businessman. So some people just aren't happy with it. But I mean, from what you guys were saying, I think it's you're right. You should be knowing where your dollars are going. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to be paying for an opera wherever or like,
yeah.
I think it's a good thing because we should know where our money is going. So, but I would have to do more research on it.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, I think it is interesting, especially in this article, like with what it's saying. I don't know. I think it could be good for us,
Yeah.
But you're right, too, Rudy. It's also upsetting for the people losing their jobs. Sure. And yeah. It does say something about AI. Do you think that he's going to incorporate more AI with stuff like this? Or do you think he'll leave it to the people?
AI has been in our world for, 20 plus years in different ways, shape and form. So, I'm sure there'll be more of that in everything. We even here at CrossShield, we incorporate AI very, very heavily in our processes and our systems. So I think that's just part of it. But I think that the bigger aspect of this is, oh my gosh, I'm angry, to be quite honest with you.
Yes.
And the reason that I'm angry is because we, the American people, have elected people into roles, and their job, number one, first and foremost, is to protect the citizens of the United States, and that protection is also financial protection. And the government doesn't make anything. They don't make anything at all. The only revenue that the government, even our local governments, their revenue comes from taxpayer dollars that we're paying. And so it makes me angry whenever I see all this level of excess, not just spending, but it's like on programs that don't even benefit the American people at all. Stuff that's going outside of the United States. It's like, wait a minute, I'm paying taxes on all of these programs, all these things. And when you turn on the television every day and you see all these new entities, these new programs, these new things that come up, it makes me angry. And I don't ever want our country to get back into this place where we've got so much. Anyway, so I'm excited about it. I'm glad to see it. It's very, very painful. But you know what? Change is painful. If it doesn't challenge us, if it doesn't create some issues or some problems for us, it's not going to change us. And we talk to our clients about this all the time. If you really want something, it's going to require something to do something differently. It's going to behavior change, and it's going to require a bit of a sacrifice. We've got to say no to something to be able to say yes to the things that we want. And I think we're seeing that with this process. So we're going to talk a lot more about Doge. Nick, why don't you go ahead and give us the last thought, and then I'll close this out today.
Last thought. Well, what you said, whatever you don't change, you're choosing. So if you don't change those things, you're choosing to be like that, and you're choosing those things. The biggest thing when I read this, and again, working for the DOD for 21 years, 9 months.
And DOD, for our audience who doesn't know, is?
Department of Defense.
Thank you. Okay.
And it is the amount of money spent on just defense is massive. So the economy, of course, is what I'm thinking about. So if we're spending $100 billion on a weapon system, does that weapon system actually cost $100 billion? Or is it cost $3 billion and the rest of it is paying off people, laundering, you know, not laundering money, I guess that's a bad word for it, but is it like pork products? Is it really overinflated costs? Like, is it $10,000 toilet seats?
You know, are we really getting the value?
Are we getting the value? So once Correct. We do, if we are going to keep $100 billion in the Defense Department, and then Elon comes in and makes that economical, like look what he did with SpaceX and travel. Like it's a fraction of the price to send one of his rockets up to do what it does, as opposed to a space shuttle or, you know, when we send guys to the moon. If he can do the same thing with that, like I think every American would be like, heck yes. Imagine how technologically advanced we could be if the actual money was spent on the actual things and not overinflated. Gizmos and parts and pieces, programs and whatnot. So that's what I'm excited to see. I think that's
I know for happen. Me too. I read Elon Musk, and sometimes I'm like, you know what I mean. And I know some people listening or some people reading that they're like the same. They're like Elon Musk, like you know. But it does say, if you read the article, it literally says from the Oval Office that he won't do anything without approval. Like he has to get approved of every single thing he does. If it's not appropriate, it's not going to happen. If they think there's a conflict, like. They won't let him go near it. I think people think
president
he's going to have all this power.
Correct.
Yeah. They think he has this power, but it's literally saying like, no, he's just overseeing it. Like he still has to come to us, you know, so.
He's a consultant for all intents and purposes.
You know, the cool thing about this whole Doge issue, it's a math question. It's very simple. It's math. And then the question is, okay, what are you doing? What's the value that you're giving back to the American people based on the cost? And so the reason that all these things have come up, it's like, wait a minute. We're taking money in from the American people in taxes, and we're doing these things for other people overseas. How does that benefit us? Well, we don't have the answer to that question, right? So the whole conversation about asking questions and really getting to the root and understanding of the real issue helps us decide, okay, do we need to make a change? It's so simple and it's so pure. And it's what we do in our coaching practice with clients, right? We ask questions to help understand, because many times our clients may be doing something for many, many years. It's like, I don't really know why I'm doing that. It doesn't really align with my values or my goals. It's just so clean and so simple. So anyway, we're going to talk a lot more about Doge, things that come up in the future weeks. So that's it for our podcast today. I'll give Allie any last thoughts. Nick, last thoughts. Allie, I'll hand it to you.
Allie, it's all you.
Yeah.
I don't have any last thoughts. I think that's it. I'm trying to think. I think it was a good episode. This is a good episode, I think, because it's going to be happening more. I think, you know, our listeners can stay tuned. You know, if you have any questions, you're welcome to comment. We have some people that comment down below on the YouTube. We will answer you guys because we're going to be talking about it more. Like you said, it's going to be a good topic to talk about and for me to learn more, because I'm like, I just heard about it. So,
yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Yep. Allie, I just want to say before we let Nick say something, thank you for working so hard and doing all. We started this podcast really talking about you and all that you're doing. I'm just so proud of you working toward your goals, doing all of these amazing things. And anyway, thank you so much. So
appreciate you, Allie.
Yep. Nick, last thought, and I'll carry us out.
No, I just I think that whatever you do, having a strong financial budget, a strong financial plan, the right behaviors, and making those behaviors stick. I mean, that is pretty much the formula for combating and navigating all of these economic uncertainties. And as a coach, that's what I do. I would love to help you. And mm-hmm. All you have to do is click on that link, book an appointment, and we get chatted, get in front of me or Amanda or Rudy as coaches, and you know, have that conversation. And the quicker you do it, the quicker we can get you on the right path.
Fantastic. Thanks, everyone. All right. Wealth Builders, before we close this out, let's talk about what's next for you. So just looking some, oh, I'm so sorry. Wow. Let me restart this thing. You just took in some powerful financial insights about relevant information happening real time. But remember, information alone doesn't change your life. Action does. The difference between where you are now and where you want to be, it's the steps you take today. So let's make this real. Step one, take the first move. If you're tired of feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of your next financial step, you don't have to figure it out alone. That's why we do what we do. Book your free 15-minute coaching session. And let's get clear on a plan that actually works for you. You'll find the link to that in the description. Step two, stay in the right circle. Winning with money is easier when you're surrounded by people who are learning, growing, and pushing forward too. Join us online for weekly insights, real strategies, and encouragement to keep you moving forward. And then step three, help someone else take that step. If you found value in today's episode, hit like, subscribe, and send this to someone who needs to hear it. Sometimes a simple conversation about money is all it takes to start making a change. New episodes drop every Friday at 3 p.m. So stay connected, keep learning, and let's do this together. Now, take a deep breath, grab that coffee, and remember, your financial future isn't set in stone. It's built by the choices you make today. Make them count. Until next time, stay focused, stay intentional, and keep building that wealth. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Coach Nick. Thanks, Allie.